front of the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave! D-A-V-E!
Dave?
Right, man, Dave.
Dave's not here!
Everyone, it's Dave, and welcome to another edition of Just What Do You Think You're Doing, Dave? On today's show, I wanted to talk about our own history and sort of an appreciation for it. And specifically, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Vietnam War. And there's a little context here I'll provide in just a minute, but let me just tell you the backstory for a minute. So in the 1960s and into the early 1970s, we were involved in Vietnam. Now, it's not really well taught in schools. When you really think about what you know about Vietnam, it's kind of not that deep and detailed. We know that there was an incursion, we know that we sent troops over there, but we don't really know what was happening. And even at the time, I would argue we really didn't understand it and appreciate it. We were sending our troops over there, we had the draft, we were bringing people in to serve in the military who had to go over there and fight in Vietnam in harsh conditions. You know, the weather was terrible, there was a number of different insurgent groups that were causing all sorts of mayhem. There was a number of people who really didn't understand the objectives and were kind of standing outside the objectives and doing their own thing. There was some very bad things that happened in terms of, friendly fire and things like that that happened. And then on top of it all, because it wasn't well appreciated by the masses, it wasn't well reported on. It was, you know, relatively speaking, it was well reported on by the media, but the masses didn't really appreciate what was going on there. And so our boys would come home from war and were not treated as heroes. Unlike it was when they went to World War II in Korea, you know, between 30 and 40 years before that, these guys came home and they were treated just as second-class citizens. You know, they went over there to fight and they were forced to because they were drafted, and the draft was just a horrible thing that happened. It was just this random allotment of people that had to go over and fight, but not really for our country. When we were fighting in World War II, we were fighting for the freedom of the world. When we were fighting in Korea, we were fighting against, you know, this Chinese incursion. There was something to be said for it, and there was a heroic nature to it. In Vietnam, it didn't feel that way. And so here it is, the 1970s, and it just didn't have that same appeal. And, you know, if we don't understand the history of it, and, you know, maybe in another show I'll talk more about the history of why we got there and kind of how we got to that, but it was slightly political, and there was a lot of other things happening that were kind of strange. So flash forward to 1970, and there's a lot of protests happening at universities, sit-ins, student-led protests, you know, anti-government sort of things that were happening, rallies. But for the most part, they were fairly peaceful. They were just people expressing an opinion about having to go and fight in an unjust war. And, you know, I remember seeing people burning draft cards and hearing things about it. Look, I was a little guy in like 1970, but I remember that my own father was called up to be in the draft, but unfortunately because of his eyesight, or fortunately if you want to look at it that way, he was what they'd call a 4F, so he was going to be one of the last to be called. He also got a deferment because I was little and he was in school and, you know, all these different things, so there was a lot of things that happened. But when you think about it, you know, it's a generational thing, right? I'm in my 50s. This is my father who had been in, you know, who would be in his 80s now, who would have been fighting there. So kids in my high school, their fathers were in Vietnam. And I remember talking to some of my friends about, you know, their parents and what they did, and their fathers didn't really want to talk about it. They were just there because they had to be, and they didn't talk about it. So it's kind of a weird thing that happens there. And then you see the shows, the TV shows that came out in the 80s where they talk about Vietnam and just how awful things were and the things that were going on there. And they brought to light some elements of it, though a little bit fictitiously in the way that they did the TV shows, but they were telling you the story to a degree, right? So you understood some of what was happening there to a point. And, you know, this is the first time we really saw it come to life. And then they built the Vietnam War Memorial sometime in the mid-1980s, and it's a listing of all the names of soldiers who died in Vietnam. And, you know, these were our fathers, or perhaps your grandfathers, if you're listening to this, who were fighting there. You know, so it was a generational thing. It was recent. It's a recent memory for us. Unlike, say, World War II, or before that, or even, you know, Korea, this is something that happened in our lifetime. And we never really appreciate it, and we don't respect it, and we don't do things as far as it really understanding the history of it. So anyway, it's 1970, and there's these things happening around. There was an incursion into Cambodia where we were expanding the war to some degree, and that was, a lot of people felt that was really unjust, and they were protesting that. So at Kent State University out in Ohio, the Ohio National Guard was called out to try and keep the peace, I guess is what they would say. And somehow or other, I really couldn't tell you how, when you read the story, it really doesn't make sense. The National Guard wound up firing on a group of protesters and killing 4 students and wounding, I think, 9 more on campus, simply protesting peacefully. After a lot of investigation and a lot of back and forth, the soldiers that were there on campus said that they felt like they were threatened in some way. But after much investigation, it turned out that no one was even close to them at any point in time. No one had any weapons around. No one was doing anything to them. No one was a threat to them. And yet they opened fire on a peaceful protest and killed people. You know, National Guard troops killing students on campus who are peacefully protesting. It's a horrible thing. And, you know, we can learn a lot from this. And in fact, I think you could argue that we did learn a lot from this. There were some students that were at the university who wound up leaving the university and going off and doing other things and sort of reminding us that this happened. And the 2 examples I'll give are Chrissy Hind, who was in the Pretenders, who went off and started writing music about sort of her experience in a way. It was sort of an abstract thing, but she was talking about, you know, anti-war and being against sort of this sort of incursions by, you know, the military and, you know, being so in your face and abrupt like that. And then, of course, there was the band Devo. Now, Devo could be described as sort of a punk sort of thing. It was a very strange, they were very odd in the sense of, you know, they were sort of neoclassical, I guess you could say, or punk or something. I don't know what they were exactly. I guess punk isn't probably right, but they were something that was unusual, right? They had this sort of pop funky thing going on. And so they had a whole thing that was happening. You know, they wore these yellow suits, and then, or I guess they were yellow jumpsuits, and then they wore planters on their head. And their big claim to fame was a song called "Whip It." And what this was, most people don't realize this. This was an anti-war song. The "Whip It" was an anti-nuclear arms sort of tenet, and the yellow suits were actually nuclear protection suits. And the helmet was sort of the idea of a helmet, right, just to kind of bring it all together. But they were actually singing songs about anti-war because they were there at Kent State at the time. And they saw it happen. Or maybe they saw it, or maybe they heard about it, but they were on campus at the time. And it was a part of who they became. And you realize that there's a deeper sort of significance to that. That, you know, bands became, music became something to be an expression of the whole anti-war effort and taking it further. And it just, it's kind of an interesting thing when you think about it. So here's this connection to all of this stuff, right? All these things that happen there. And, you know, people kind of forget that, and they kind of forget and disrespect the memory of what happened there to a large degree. So anyway, I'm watching the University of Central Florida's football team play Kent State, and it's in Orlando where Central Florida plays, and they're playing their game, and the announcers are talking about, you know, people that came out of Kent State and people that were related to Kent State. And they mention the massacre, and it is called a massacre, by the way. They mention it, but they don't really give any details around it because I don't think they knew any details around it. Or maybe because they were, you know, doing a national broadcast for a football game, they didn't feel it was appropriate to give any more details around it. So they just sort of went there. Then they started talking about famous alumni. And one of the announcers goes, yeah, Devo came from Kent State. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. They're going to make a connection here. And the other guy goes, who's Devo? Oh, okay, I guess it's lost. And I get it. You know, Devo was around, you know, 40 years ago. So I can understand why you might not make that connection. He doesn't know who they are. I get that. But the other announcer didn't try and help him in any way. And perhaps didn't even know that Devo was connected to the Kent State massacre. And it just was kind of a weird thing that there was this discussion, but it didn't go any deeper. And it just sort of ended there, and that was the end of it. And it was like, all right, well, at least you mentioned it, and at least you understood and had an appreciation for it. So I guess that's a start, but it would be nice if we remember our own history and we talk about it in some way. So flash forward to later that night, University of Central Florida wins. They win big. And they decide that they're going to post something to social media that harkens back to something that happened in a professional football game some years ago. Shannon Sharp, football player, was playing for, I think it was the Broncos, I want to say. I'm not positive about that, but they beat whatever team they were playing. And as the game was ending, he turns to the TV camera and he goes, "Call out the National Guard because we're beating them." Okay, kind of funny, you know, in that sense. It was okay. Whatever. And so UCF decided that they wanted to kind of evoke that same sort of spirit. And so they posted to social media, "We beat Kent State, call out the National Guard." And sort of immediately afterwards realized their mistake because of the Kent State massacre that happened, you know, 40-something years ago, 50-something years ago, right? They had that moment where they realized their mistake, and they go, "We need to be," you know, they apologize, and they said, "We need to be better educating ourselves and be more aware of what we're saying and how we're saying it and how it comes across because it wasn't right for us to say that," something along those lines. And I get it, but it's like, see, we've lost this part of history. We've lost this sort of sense of ourselves and who we are and what we stand for. And I think the fact that we don't educate ourselves on things like Vietnam, it was a horrible war. I mean, there was nothing good that came out of Vietnam. In all honesty, I don't think there was anything good that came out of that war. I mean, look, you could make a case that there was something good that came out of it, I'm sure, but I don't see anything good that came out of it. We went in, we fought for a cause that no one can really articulate what that cause was, and then we left. And maybe we accomplished our goal, maybe we didn't, but we lost a lot of people, right? A lot of people died. There was still, into the 1990s, you'd still see MIA flags flying around, you know, from people from Vietnam, where there were people missing in action. They never recovered the bodies of all these people who died. You know, and the military is always big on, you know, we bring our own home, you know, but we couldn't bring everyone home. There was a lot of people who died or were captured or were imprisoned or something or tortured or whatever they were. You know, they sort of maybe elongated the story a little bit, you know, stretched the truth just a little with some of the movies that came out, like Chuck Norris and, you know, Fighting at Vietnam and some of these other Vietnam era movies where they talk about, you know, how people were tortured. And perhaps it's true. Perhaps it's an extension of the truth. I'm not here to speak to that. I'm only saying that that's the only connection we have to it, right? If we really appreciate it, follow the history and understand it, maybe we'll have a better appreciation for what happened there. And maybe we can really, really understand it differently. I mean, I think you could make the case that our government was wrong. I think you could make the case that our military was wrong. I think you can make the case that it was a horrible mistake. But we need to own up to that. You know, and that's part of our problem in the nature of our society. We don't own up to our own mistakes. We did something, and maybe it was right, maybe it was wrong, but we need to pay attention to it and make a decision to own up to it, right? And at least tell the truth, right? Talk about it. Bring it up in schools. Talk about, you know, that what happened. It was, you know, if the kids are in school today, it was probably their grandparents who were there. At my age, it was my parents. But let's talk about it and let's understand it. And as I said, you know, my friends, their parents never talked about it. It was a rare thing that you would ever talk about anything that happened to you when you were in Vietnam. That just didn't happen. You'd ask some questions. You'd know somebody was, say, I had a friend whose father was a helicopter pilot. And he had a helmet that he had left over from his days in Vietnam. That's the only recognition he gave to it. If you'd ask him a question about it, he goes, "Yeah, it's just a time." Had another friend who I knew, whose father, same kind of a thing. It was like, you know, "What was it like in Vietnam?" "Oh, it was a terrible thing, but, you know, I'm not going to talk about it." And I had another relative who fought there, and, you know, he wouldn't talk about it because he was on leave when his base was attacked by friendly fire and all his friends died, right? So he would never talk about it. Wouldn't talk about a single thing that happened there. Just said, "Yeah, I served over there." That was it. We need to appreciate it. We need to understand what happened. We need to bring it back to the forefront so we really appreciate our own history. You know, let's try not to repeat it again. Let's try not to fall into that same trap again. So that was it. I just wanted to tell that story because it was something that was top of mind to me when I was watching that football game. And it was like, huh, isn't that interesting? Anyway, that is my story and I'm sticking to it. And remember, if we can dream it, we can always do it. Bye now.
What's your point, David?